It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, an innovative program in Brown County aims to help young people appreciate where their food comes from and gives them a way to learn about business firsthand.
But first, President Trump addressed Congress last night for the first time during his tenure in the White House. And many commentators say he struck a calmer, more positive tone than he has in previous speeches.
In his address, he talked about health care, national security, immigration, education, and other issues on the table for federal lawmakers.
Anna Edgerton joins us now. She's a reporter for Bloomberg News, where she covers congressional politics. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks. Happy to be here.
Well, so as we reference there, the big headline from last night seems to be that President Trump gave a much more measured, positive speech than he's given before. How would you describe the tone?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think he rose to the occasion and it was a pretty well-received speech. He definitely, you know, respected the moment. He stood up in the front of the Congress addressing all of these legislators, and he had a more positive message, a more optimistic vision. And I think he fulfilled the goal that he had for the night to present himself as the president of the United States and as the leader that this country needs.
So the tenor of the speech was different than we've seen before from President Trump. But what about the nuts and bolts, the policy and the agenda goals that he's laid out?
Well, the substance wasn't so different. I mean, he did stick to his campaign pledges, mentioning the wall and some tax reform. He was a little short on details, which was not totally unexpected. Joint address to Congress is not necessarily the place to lay out specific policy proposals, but I think there were some details lacking that Republican lawmakers, markets, investors, and the American people are probably going to be looking for in the next few weeks.
Specifically, what details struck you as being missing from the speech last night?
Well, for example, talking about the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, he kind of tiptoed close to some of the proposals that have been discussed by Republicans in the House and the Senate, but he didn't get behind a specific proposal. And I think at some point there will be need to be some guidance from the White House on which direction to go with that. Also with tax reform, he mentioned the need for some kind of adjustment to get American companies on a level playing field with foreign companies, but he didn't fully endorse the plan put forth by House Speaker Paul Ryan, and I think there'll be a lot of people watching to see where President Trump comes down on some of those issues.
Well, you mentioned health care. Let's listen to the president in his own words from last night.
Mandating every American to buy government-approved health insurance was never the right solution for our country. The way to make health insurance available to everyone is to lower the cost of health insurance, and that is what we are going to do.
And Anna, you said not a lot of specifics there, but what do we know about what kind of support President Trump has for what we do know about the plan and his goals for it so far?
Well, I think the White House and Republicans in the House and in the Senate are united behind the principles of health care reform, that they want to have a more patient-centered system. They would probably even give more freedom to the states to choose what's best for each state. But the problem is now peeling back the layers of Obamacare that has been the law of the land for 6-7 years and trying to get a transition that will be smooth enough to not disrupt insurance markets and to not leave millions of people uninsured. So I think that transition is going to be not an easy thing to iron out. And I think there needs to be very specific proposals that the White House will have to probably at some point be a bit more explicit about what direction they want that to go in.
Does it look likely that he'll face any strong headwinds from within his own party?
It depends on where he comes out on some of the specific policy issues. The House Republicans, for example, are divided on Medicaid expansion and what to do with the states that chose to expand Medicaid and the states that didn't. So there's going to be some sparring over the specific details, and at some point the president will have to wade into those battles and that's where he could see some pushback, but could also use his position as the president to help push forward the policy proposals that will ultimately become legislation.
We're talking with Anna Edgerton right now with Bloomberg News, talking about President Trump's speech before Congress last night. And Anna, the president has been criticized for being slow to denounce violence and threats aimed at Muslims and Jews and other minority groups. And last night, though, he made a strong statement about those issues, calling for unity and tolerance. Will that be enough for his critics?
Well, that was one of the first topics that he touched on, so you could see it was definitely a priority in his speech last night. I think it will address some of the criticism that he had been slow to respond to that kind of attack, but it's going to have to be a constant thing as we, you know, see news reports of attacks on different minority groups. There's going to be a constant demand for the president to respond and to denounce that kind of interaction in American public life.
And looking at comments about education made last night, President Trump talked about education reform. Here's what he had to say.
Our children will grow up in a nation of miracles. But to achieve this future, we must enrich the mind and the souls of every American child. Education is the civil rights issue of our time. I am calling upon members of both parties to pass an education bill that funds school choice for disadvantaged youth, including millions of African American and Latino children.
So education, the president says, is the civil rights issue of our time, calling for school choice. What did Congress make of those remarks?
Yeah, I think that was a really important point for him to make. He hadn't spent much time speaking about education besides his references to Betsy DeVos, his new education secretary, when she was nominated for her cabinet position. So I think it was important for him to come back to this issue, spend some time talking about it, really emphasize it as an important point in the speech. And he said all the right things for Republicans in Congress. Republicans generally support more choice for the states, more choice for individual families. And as long as they can come up with their proposals that will fulfill those kind of broad policy ideals, I think that's what the president will be looking for and what the Republican voters will probably be looking for as well.
We're talking with Anna Edgerton right now. She's a reporter with Bloomberg News, and she's with us to talk about the president's first congressional address last night.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think about the president's speech last night? Do you have thoughts on any of the particular priorities he talked about on education, healthcare, security, immigration? If you're a fan of the president, if you've been supporting him, did you miss the more aggressive tone? If you had your doubts about the president, did this relieve those at all? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in just a bit. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Anna Edgerton from Bloomberg News. She's with us to talk about President Trump's first congressional address last night.
And we'd like to hear from you. What takeaways did you have from the president's speech? What did you think about the more measured tone and the positivity that came out of it? And what about the policy proposals? Call us at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Colin joining us in Wausau. Colin, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love your program and
thank
public
you.
Radio. So thank you for what you guys do.
Appreciate that. What did you want to add, Colin?
And I'm not a Trump supporter, so maybe this is nitpicky or this is, you know, kind of looking for problems or issues. But what really burned me was the buy American, hire American comment. My wife has a green card. She comes from Thailand. I was in the Peace Corps. That's where I met her. And she has a nursing background with a master's degree. So that means don't hire her. And then on the flip side, if we move back to Thailand, does that mean the Thai government should go buy Thai and only hire Thai? And so that's where that American first, and I don't know, it really burned me, because I get to buy local, buy American, but she has legal status to be here, and she should be hired for the skills that she can offer in any workplace.
Colin, thank you for calling. Appreciate that. And Anna, that America First language was there. The nationalist tone, the strand of it, was still there last night. And Colin is saying that leave some people out of the equation here. What do you think about that aspect?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And thanks, Colin, for that. I think the America First, you know, buy American, hire American rhetoric plays really well with the American electorate. You know, most people who vote are citizens. But I think, you know, it risks missing the point that immigrants do contribute a lot to our economy and to our country and to the social fabric of the United States of America. And also, if you're going to support free market principles, as most Republicans profess to do, the idea that you would limit your hiring or your business practices by where whatever qualified person comes from goes a little bit against that. So I think it's going to be an interesting theme that we'll see play out. You know, obviously it was a big element of the campaign and definitely something that we'll see President Trump reacting to and maybe even developing those ideas a little bit more once they get it put into practice in the real world.
Colin, again, thanks for the call. We go next to Ian in Door County. Ian, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hope everybody's having a good day.
Doing well, thanks. What did you want to throw into the conversation?
Well, I just wanted to make one little mention that, you know, really in terms of the message that Trump was putting out last night, it was no different than the same message he's delivered, you know, over the entire campaign as well as into the first 2 months here of his presidency. More so, the reason why it's having such successful response is that the demeanor of it was something that we've seen in a different tone from him. But the message really was nothing different than he had been delivering all along. And I'll take your comments off air.
Ian, thanks for that. And Anna, people have been commenting that, you know, there was speculation after last night that this was the pivot point that some politics watchers have been looking for, saying this could be the turn to a different type of president. And Ian saying, this is the same Donald Trump that we've seen. The tone was different, but the content was the same.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the tone is going to get him, that the shift in tone is going to get him much more than a temporary bump in approval ratings or in kind of acceptance from maybe more mainstream voters and more mainstream politicians. And I think the substance was very similar to what we saw in the campaign. But tone matters, and the way that you present it to the American people and the way that you present it to Congress will influence how far President Trump can advance his ideas. So I think that's going to be an important place to watch, especially since we were kind of conditioned to expect explosive displays of emotion or, you know, kind of off-script comments from President Trump. To see him in a more measured, kind of restrained environment makes us wonder what we're going to see from here on out, if he'll keep that up or if he'll return to his same old improvisational self.
And on the other hand, as you said, tone matters. The speech was billed by Trump supporters going in as something that would be kind of Reagan-esque in tone. Do you think it hit that mark?
Yeah, and I think the setting helped as well. I mean, you had you're in the Congress, in the Capitol building, with all of the, you know, the whole legislative body in front of you. And so that the setting helped create this kind of presidential atmosphere. I think in order to really set a strong agenda that kind of inspires the same confidence that as President Reagan, it's going to need to have a bit more meat on the bones of some of the policy proposals, you know, not necessarily getting to specific numbers, but giving a bit more guidance to the troops that are going to carry out his legislative agenda.
Let's take another call here. We've got Tom with us in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I thought last night was it was definite improvement, but let's face it, the bar is pretty low. All he had to do was to not act like a maniac, and all of a sudden we're comparing him to Ronald Reagan. The things that I was missing was any talk of climate change, Social Security, Medicare, and even income inequality and Glass-Steagall, which were all things that he was running on in his platform, but unfortunately we didn't see any of that last night. And after pretty much disrespecting a Gold Star family, now we see a war widow standing with a standing ovation for 4 minutes. Some might see that as patriotic. I see it as very exploitive.
Tom, thanks a lot. Yeah, you brought a lot of issues there. Tom Singh has a lot of stuff that he thought was remarkable for not being in the speech, and he's also pointing to the moment with the widow yesterday, which was hailed by some people as a high point. Tom saw it as exploitive. What did you think, Anna?
Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. You mentioned some of the stuff that wasn't in there. I don't catch up to that list. You know, he didn't mention Russia a single time. I think the Medicare and Social Security is an interesting space to watch going forward because it wasn't included. Entitlement reform wasn't included in his budget that's been presented this week. And that's something that Speaker Ryan and a bunch of the House Republicans have advocated pretty strongly in the past. So seeing what Congress ends up doing with entitlement reform will be an interesting potential conflict to keep an eye out for. For the tribute to the fallen Navy SEAL and his widow that was there, it was such an emotional moment. It's you know, it's possible to see that as cynical, but you know, I think we also have to respect the life that was given for the defense of the United States, although there's some debate over how effective that mission actually was. But, you know, it was an emotional moment. She made a great sacrifice with her fallen husband as a Navy SEAL. And, you know, it is what it is. It's a sacrifice you have to respect. Whether or not it was done for political gain on Trump's part, you know, well, I think we have to leave it at that.
Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
That was Anna Edgerton, a reporter with Bloomberg News. She joined us there to talk about President Trump's speech in front of Congress last night.
Wisconsin's mix of cold winters and hot summers puts stress on its highways, but nothing damages roads more than heavy trucks. And yet, at a time when road conditions are getting worse in Wisconsin, state lawmakers have been reluctant to punish overweight trucks that do the most damage. In our ongoing series on transportation funding in Wisconsin, Sean Johnson reports.
Fewer than 100 state patrol officers are responsible for enforcing weight limits on Wisconsin highways. Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson is one of them.
The weight limits are there to protect the infrastructure of the roadways. The heavier the vehicle, the more damage it does.
Johnson and other highway inspectors are focused on commercial trucks or semi-trucks. Depending on how much companies pay the state in vehicle registration fees, trucks can weigh up to 80,000 pounds. The state weighs trucks at 13 weigh stations. It also uses several weigh-in motion scales. These combine cameras and metal plates built into the pavement to weigh trucks while they're driving. Inspectors patrolling Wisconsin's roads can also pull over trucks, and Johnson's doing that now. Johnson says most truck drivers follow the law, and no inspections are just a part of doing business. That's the way this stop unfolds. Johnson shouts instructions to the driver as he inspects the truck, including its lights and brakes.
Left turn signal. Right. Okay, four ways. Brake. Good.
The truck's in good shape and shows no sign of being overweight, so there's no need for Johnson to break out portable scales or escort the truck to a weigh station. Once he's done, Johnson checks his laptop to see what he missed. Several trucks passed the weigh-in motion scales just down the road while he was busy. Three of them weighed more than the 80,000-pound legal limit.
It's frustrating, but you can't really let it get to you. I mean, I can only do so much, and us as an agency, there's only so much you can do with the personnel that you have. And it's just, you can't get them all, but you can do the best you can with what you have.
In the case of the Wisconsin State Patrol's highway inspectors, that's meant doing the job with fewer people. While the agency's scale technology has dramatically improved, the number of highway inspectors on the road today is smaller than a decade ago, even though the number of heavy trucks has grown. The Department of Transportation proposed adding inspectors a few years ago, citing an internal study that showed overweight trucks cause $41 million in pavement damage annually in Wisconsin. Republicans on the legislature's budget committee rejected the plan, and soon after, the full legislature passed bills allowing farm equipment on roads that's even heavier, up to 92,000 pounds. Ben Jordan is the director of the Transportation Information Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's College of Engineering. Jordan teaches local governments how to build and maintain roads. Jordan says every heavy truck causes damage, much more than cars.
Maybe there are 50,000 vehicles traveling on the interstate in a day. Now, the DOT says 35% of those are trucks. One of those trucks would do the same damage to that highway as 9,600 cars.
Some local governments complain their roads have been damaged to the point that they're unsafe at highway speeds. And there are other safety concerns. At the Beloit Way Station, Highway Inspector Derek Schutte is examining a semi-trailer when he spots a problem.
Release! So this truck's out of service for brakes.
Three of this truck's 10 brakes don't work, which means the driver has to park it until it's fixed or towed. Schutte says he's seen enough examples like this that it's changed the way he drives.
I will tell you when I'm driving either in my squad car or in my personal vehicle, if I'm in and around a semi, it's either passing it to get around it, or I'm pretty far off.
Cars have to coexist with semis in a state and a country where the economy is built around trucking. But all those heavy trucks come with trade-offs. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the news, we find out how young people in Brown County are learning how to both grow and sell their own vegetables. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. Another thank you to everyone who pledged during our pledge drive last week. You helped us raise more than $450,000 over the course of that drive. Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.